Okay, we'll start in a minute. Shalom, good to see you. Wow.
Hi.
Hi, Emma. Oh, Shalom. This table is packed. Okay, let me just close this door here. We'll get a little bit more. So both sides, for Bein HaZmanim you get double schar. Let's take a look at the sugya of Halel. Part of the sugya of Halel overlaps with the previous sugya about Kriyat Shema, the issue of when, under what circumstances you're allowed to be mafsik and interrupt in the middle of Kriyat Shema in order to greet someone. Yesterday we had other issues about greeting on Tisha B'Av, but this issue about greeting on Mipnei Akava, Mipnei Ayira, this is a real Kriyat Shema sugya. But I figured if we're in Bein HaZmanim, maybe we'll start a new topic. I'd love to come back to Kriyat Shema. But let me just say this. What we have to know as we go forward with the question of Halel is the following. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to allow you to be mafsik in Kriyat Shema Bein HaProkim. That means in between one parsha and the other. Obviously, as we go along, we'll try to analyze that and break it down into smaller component parts. And that's called, in the language of Rabbi Yehuda, Shoel Mipnei HaKavod. Meaning, if there's someone that I feel I have to honor him, then I can ask him, I can initiate the process of Sheila Shalom, even in the middle of Kriyat Shema, but it's got to be Bein HaProkim. That's called Mipnei HaKavod. There's a more extreme case, which is called Mipnei HaYira. And that seems to be an overriding heter that's very urgent, and we're going to allow you to be mafsik in the case of Kriyat Shema, even Be'emtza Perek. So if you can make a note of it, because what I want to do now is try to see between the Rush and Rabbi Yonah and the Rambam, how this all is going to apply to the case of Halel. I'm reciting Halel. What are the laws that govern being mafsik in the middle of Halel? And our paradigm, our background is going to be Kriyat Shema. And we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, which means that Bein HaProkim, you can be mafsik. Mipnei HaKavod, Shol Mipnei HaKavod. But in the case of Emtza Perek, that's only, as I said before, very special, almost extenuating circumstances of Shol Mipnei Ayira. Very rare can you find such a case in the Ayira. You know, maybe if the Nasi comes, the Gadol Hadar, I don't know, then we'll allow you in the middle of a parsha of Kriyat Shema to be mafsik because of Yira and Shol Mipnei Ayira. But if we use Mipnei HaKavod as our standard, because that's your normal case, then that's only Bein HaProkim. Okay. How does this all apply to the case of Halel? So what I'd like to do is, just to sort of wet our feet a little bit, if it's okay with everyone, I'd like to just give a sort of an overview, you know, sort of sketchy, and then we go through it inside. I have in the Maror Makomos pages the Rush, I have for you the Rabbeinu Yonah, I have the Rambam for you, but first I want to, this will help me a lot also, to give you an overview of the various opinions. The first opinion is that of the Rush. And the Rush sees Halel, basically, in the light of Kriyat Shema. He's going to start with a premise that we should assume an analogy between Kriyat Shema and Halel. Now, when I say Halel, the question is, what Halel are we talking about? And Halel, for our purposes, as you'll see here in the Sugya and Daf Yud Dalet, subdivides into two categories of Halel. The first category is Yomim Shegomrim Bahemis HaHalel. And those are the days in which we recite the complete Halel without dilug, without skipping. And there are two different lists of when, which days in the Jewish calendar year we read the entire Hallel. One list is called the 18 days, and that applies here in Eretz Yisrael. And then we go to Chutz Laretz, we beef it up and we jack it up by another 3 days, and it goes from 18 to 21. Okay, maybe we'll talk about how that happens, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, etc., etc. So according to the Rush, what we're going to have is the following. On Yomim Shegomrim Behem Es HaHalel, if you're in between one perek and the other, then you're allowed to be mafsik, which means, again, in our language, you're allowed to be shoel mipnei hakovot. In that sense, Rabbi Yonah is assuming an equation between Hallel and Kriyat Shema. Correct? So far, so good. So that's Bein HaProkim Shol Mipnei HaKovod. What do we do B'Emtza? HaPerek?
Yeah.
That's only Shol Mipnei HaYira. As we said before, Bein HaProkim, I'm sorry, B'Emtza HaProkim, we're very hesitant, we're very inhibited about allowing you to make a hefsek in the middle of a perek, but we'll do it for the sake of Yira, and only for the sake of Yira. And basically, as we said before, this is Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the way we paskin as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned, that's B'yomim Shegomrim Bahem Es HaHalel. Now we have a different category. That's called the Yomim She'ein HaYochid Gomer Bahem Es HaHalel. We'll have a lot to talk about. And those are which days of the year, basically? Exactly. We start with Rosh Chodesh. That's an excellent place to start, because Rosh Chodesh already gives you at least, 18 days out of the year. And on those days, we read Hallel B'Diluk and Ein Gomer Bahem Es HaHalel. We're going to have to discuss exactly what the status of that Hallel is. Is it a real Hallel? Is it not the real Hallel? Obviously, it's different than the real, genuine Hallel.
What is the term,
Ein Gomer Bahem Es HaHalel? We can't read the entire complete Hallel. Right. We call it in Yiddish Halb Hallel. In the Gemara's language, it's called Hallel B'Dilug, which means we skip. In fact, we're going to see in the Rambam soon that exactly what we skip and what we say is not at all clear. There were many different traditions. And the Rambam's tradition might not be our tradition. But that's called Yomim She'ein HaYochid Gomer Bahen Es HaHalel. Says the Rush, when it comes to those days, then even the Emtza Perek, Shoel Mipnei HaKovot, that Halach of Shoel Mipnei HaKovot, which in the case of a full Halel, we reserve to Bein HaProkim, the Rush is willing to extend to the Emtza Perek when we get to Yomim She'ein Gomer Bahen Es HaHalel. So basically what happens is we're going down a madrega, according to the Rosh. And what we're doing is we're taking the halacha of Bein HaProkim, right? The heter Bein HaProkim, which we said was Shol Mipnei HaKovot, and now we're extending it to the Emtza Perek. That's what we're allowed to do in the case of Yomim She'ein Gomer Bahen Es HaHalel. And then we get to Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rabbeinu Yonah, and again we'll read this all inside of Mirtz Hashem, is a whole different sheet. Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. On the Chof Aleph Yom, then we're allowed to be posek exactly the way we could be posek for Kriyat Shema. That means, in the middle, Bein HaProkim, Shol Mipnei HaKovot. And that applies to Hallel as well. However, when it comes to Hallel, B'emtza HaPerek Ein Mafsik Klal Afilu Mipnei HaYira. Somehow Hallel, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, becomes so severe, so strict, that the normal extreme case, which we said was sort of like an overriding urgent heter, that Mipnei HaYira were allowed to be mafsik in the middle of a perek, in the middle of a parasha, in the case of Kriyat Shema, that halach is completely suspended with regard to Hallel. And obviously, I'm going to try to prove that the Rambam also maintains the shita of Rabbeinu Yonah, but obviously this is a very tenuous kind of shita. If I were to ask you which is Doraisa and which is Durabbanan, which is more Chomer and which is less Chomer, in a comparison, a toss-up between Kriyat Shema and Halil, where would you put it? Kriyat Shema is certainly Doraisa. In fact, the Rambam Paskins, we've discussed this many, many times, in Kriyat Shema, all three parashiyos are Doraisa. And the Rambam over and over again tells us that Halil is only Durabbanan. Now, truth be told, there is a Ramban in his Hasaga on Sefer HaMitzvahs, in which he seems to say, again, it's a very difficult Ramban to plow through, we'll try to plow through the text, that maybe on certain occasions Halel is Doraisa. But even so, we're not sure what the Ramban means. But within the context of the Rambam, there's no question about it, Halel is Darabanan. And therefore, if I were to apply the principles of Chumrah and Kula to Kriyat Shema on the one hand and to Halel on the other hand, I would certainly assume that Kriyat Shema relative to Halel is Chamur, whereas Halel relative to Kriyat Shema is Kal. And yet here we find in Rabbeinu Yonah a very, very, shall I say, mysterious kind of Shita, in which he says that the Halach of Mipnei Ayira, which is matir in the case of Kriyat Shema, even b'emtza perek, is completely suspended. And when we get to Halel, we're going to be so strict about Halel that even in the case of Ibn Ayira, we're not going to allow it b'emtza perek. True, if we're between prakim, then Rabbeinu Yonah has the laid back sheet, he's makil just as we are in Kriyat Shema, accepting Rabbi Yehuda Shita that you could be sholem ibn Ayakovid bain. HaProkim, that too will apply to the Yom Shigomer Bahem Es HaHalel. But nevertheless, when it comes to the Emtza Perek, here Rabbeinu Yonah becomes very tight-fisted. He's not going to give you any leash, any leeway to be Mafsik B'Emtza Perek Kla. Would the Rambam also have that Shita? So I can't be totally, totally sure about it. But the Rambam does seem to indicate that. In other words, if I didn't have Rabbeinu Yonah in my back pocket, I would be afraid to say such a radical thing. But with Rabbeinu Yonah, I feel a little bit more secure in allowing myself to say this, because I think that's what it says in the Rambam. The Rambam, of course, codifies all the halachos of Halel where? In Hilchos Chanukah. And that itself is typical of the Rambam Shita, that Halel is only the Rabbanon. And therefore, we might as well incorporate them into the laws of Chanukah, which is a mitzvah d'rabbanon Chanukah. In this sense, the fact that the Moadim, the Shlosh Sur Golem Adoraisa, in contrast to Chanukah and Purim, that's irrelevant because we're dealing with a mitzvah of Halel d'rabbanon in any event. But yet, the Rambam seems to assume that the essence of Chanukah is a day of Halel. That's what Chanukah is all about. So again, it's a little bit of a distance till Chanukah. We have a good couple of months. But now that Tisha B'Av is behind us, we can get into the mood for a day of Halel, a day of Simcha. And the Rambam defines Chanukah essentially as Halel. In fact, you don't know exactly where the Rambam places Ner Chanukah in relationship to Halel. It might be secondary to Halel, because the language of the Rambam seems to indicate that there are two forms of Halel on Chanukah. One form of Halel is Halel B'peh, and the other form of Halel expresses itself in Halel B'maisa, and the Halel B'maisa is the Halel of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. And therefore the Rambam waxes very, very poetic about how severe the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is, that it's even greater than an ani has to sell the shirt off his back for the sake of Ner Chanukah, because Ner Chanukah is the Shevach V'Halel Ta'Kodesh Baruch. Fine. So here's where the Rambam has Hilchos Chanukah. Hilchos Halel. And Sukkot, the Rambam doesn't mention anything about Halel. He assumes that you know that in Hilchos Yontif he formulates the principle that you require Halel on all the Moedim.
So his point is that the Shevach is so important.
Right, that's central. That's what the Takon of Chanukah was about, and it's a day of Shevach V'Odoya. The Rambam says the following, Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel. Yomim, this halacha test. Yomim shekorin bahem bidiluk. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Yomim shekorin bahem es ha-halel. Yesh lo lahafsik bein perek leperek. Aval b'emtza haperek lo yafsik. What does that sound like to you, Rabosai? You know, we have a principle when we learn the Rambam called Stimas Lashon HaRambam. If the Rambam doesn't qualify, then it's unqualified. The Rambam says, with regard to the days in which you recite the full Hallel, the Emtza Perek Lo Yafsik. It sounds like Lo Yafsik, even if they are Yira. The Rambam is only flexible with regard to Bein Perek LePerek in Hallel. Then he goes on to say, V'yomim shekorim ben bedilug afilu b'yemtza haperek posek. The Rambam is very lenient with regard to yomim she'eno gomer behemes hahal. Those are days in which we recite Hallel bedilug. But as far as those days in which we recite Hallel b'shleimuso gmar Hallel, and the Rambam's nusach is ligmar sahalel, that's the Rambam's nusach in the bracha, the Rambam is very, very strict about being mafsik, and he says be'emtza haperek lo yafsik, seemingly to adopt the shita, the position of Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm sorry, okay. So let's take a look at the Gemara and the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah inside, just to get a feeling for the text. Omar Rabba Yomim Shayochid Gomer Ben Esahalil is Bein Perek LePerek Posek be'emtza haperek Eino Posek, which as we saw in Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, is to be taken to its extreme. Eino Posek Klal, even Mipnei Hayira. But V'yomim She'ena Yochid Gomer Ben Esahal Afilu Be'emtza Perek Posek. If you take a look at Rashi says Yomim She'yochid Gomer Ben Esahal Shuchova L'chol Adam. These are the 21 days that are enumerated in the Sugya of Hallel. The Sugya of Hallel is in Erechin, Daf Yud. What does Rashi seem to imply as far as Hallel Bediluk? What element is it lacking?
Chov.
Exactly. There's no Chova. It sounds like Rashi is saying that it's not a mitzvah, it's not a takana. And we're going to soon see that Tosis Shita, and the Rambam adopts this position as well, is that Hallel B'yomim She'eno Gomer Ben Esahalel, that's only a minog. It doesn't even rate as a mitzvah derabbanan at all. The Rosh says the following, that we paskin like this Shita of Rabbah, Yachid She'gomer Ben Esahalel, this is in the third line, Kosov Alochus Gedolos, Lav Dafka Noket Yachid, this we'll see in Tosus as well, El Afilu Tzibur Nikraim Yachid. Whatever strict rules apply vis-a-vis the Yachid, that he's not allowed to be mafsik, for example, B'emtza, except according to certain Shitas Mipnei Ha'ira, we'll soon see in the Rosh, he can't be mafsik, B'emtza, even for the sake of Mipnei Ayir, according to Shitas, Beina Prakim, he can be Mafsik, Mipnei Akovid, so forth and so on. That applies not only to the Yachid, but to the Tzibur as well. And Kol Zman She'ein Yisrael Mekubatzim B'yachad K'mo Be'arvei Pesachim. On that line, we need about an hour for discussion about that. But in any event, what's important to us is the following. If you can fast forward, Aval Yomim, he says. So he says the following. Yomim she'ena yochid gomer sahalel lav dafka. Okay, fine. Aval yomim she'ena yochid gomer sahalel afilu b'emtza perek shol mipnei hakavod umeshiv shalom l'chol adam. Correct? That's as far as yomim she'ena yochid gomer b'emtza. But if it's a yomim she'ayochid gomer b'emtza halel, then he says, Bein HaProkim is Shoel Mipnei HaKavod and B'emtza Perek Mipnei HaYira. And that's what we saw before in our overview of the Shitas HaRosh. Fast forward now to Rabbeinu Yonah.
Against Rabbah and the Gemara.
Well, again, Rabbah doesn't specify, so he's qualifying Rabbah because he's assuming that Rabbah is therefore equating Yomim Shegomim Esahala with the din of Kriyat Shema. So therefore when Rava says that Bein Perek LePerek, it's Eino Posek, right? What was the language of Rava? B'emtza Perek Eino Porek, but Bein Perek LePerek Posek, that means Posek, which means even Mipnei HaKovin. And when he says Eino Posek, that means Mipnei HaKovin, and Mipnei HaYira, he's allowed to be Posek. comes along Rav Yonah. He has Rav instead of Rava, but it's the same Shita, and he says the following: the Afal P sheposek bi emtza kriyat shma eino posek bahalel she eino posek bishvacho shel makom yomim she eino hayochid gomer ben esahalel bein betziver ben yochid kigon hal derosh chodesh hal shel pesach bishnei yom rishonim vielech afilu beemtza perik posek kolomar mipnei ayira upnei akavod kmo kriyat shma. So basically what Rabbeinu Yonah does is he jacks up Hallel one notch above Kriyat Shema, and therefore Be'emtza he's not going to allow any Hefsei Klal in the Emtza Perik, even Mipnei Hayira. That's as far as Yomim She Gomer Ben Esahal. Yomim She Ain Gomer Ben Esahal, there he's going to equate Hallel with Kriyat Shema. Therefore, if it's Bein HaPrakim, then he can be Shol Mipnei HaKovod, and if it's Bemtza Perek, then Mipnei HaYira.
Was it his interpretation of Rava to say Klal, or is it his Girsa of Rava was the word Klal?
I don't know, but the truth is that if you read Rava straightforward, and that's what the Rambam does, he just quotes Rava, it says Bemtza Perek Ein Posek. In a sense, the burden of proof is in the court of the Rush, to say ain't no posing, but like Kriyat Shema, you can be posing with their year.
So why don't we have the same question on things for posing this for everything? Is it for everything in Choladim? I mean, what do you assume it's only the
right? We didn't get into Choladim now. I'm just talking about Nekov and their year. Right. But I
once you're making a general rule, it's just posing, ain't no posing, has to go, ain't no posing.
Right, it should go the same way, right, as far as
limitations.
Right.
If that's not likely,
yeah.
The ancient Ein Gomrin, the Emsa Perik, that's mid, wherever it comes to collision, mid, wherever the basis is,
right.
It's still Shrocha Shemokim. How can it be basically Shrocha Shemokim?
Okay, that's a good question. So basically, what I wanted to raise with you is the following question: why would Rabbeinu Yonah be more machmir in Hallel than in Kriyat Shema? Why is it that Rabbeinu Yonah, which is counterintuitive, places Hallel on a higher pedestal than Kriyat Shema? If in Kriyat Shema you're allowed to be posing Be'emtza Perek because of Yira, then how much more so with the Kal V'chomer should I apply that yardstick to Hallel, which Einam Chinami is what the Rosh is, in fact does. Rabbeinu Yonah has to be understood, Tzarech Biur, why should we be more machmer with regard to Hallel than with regard to Kriyat Shema? And the only clue we get from Rabbeinu Yonah is something about Shvacho Shalmok. So in order to analyze this sheet of Rabbeinu Yonah,
take the opinion that Chatzi Hallel is not really full Sheva?
So again, until now we were focusing on Hallel Shalom.
Okay.
And what we're saying is that the oddity in Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rambam seems to adopt the same position, is that with regard to Hallel Shalom, as we call it, Gomer Ben Esahallel, we're going to be more machmir as far as Emtza Perek is concerned than Kriyat Shema. That was our first question. Now you're asking another question. Both of you are asking the same question. And that is, what's the status of Yomim She'ein Gomer Behen Esahal? Whatever the nature of the Chiyuv is, why is it that we're so makil with regard to Yomim She'ein Gomer Behen Esahal? And again, when I say we're makil, this is straight across the board. There's no less mantapolig, it's universally accepted. If you go with the Rosh, we're more makil in the case of Yomim Shigomim Behem Esahalel with regard to Emtza Perek, and we're going to allow you to be mafsik Emtza Perek. And not only that, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, at least with Ne'ayira, we're going to allow you to be mafsik Emtza Perek in the case of Yomim She'en Gomim Behem Esahal. So it seems to be universally accepted that we can be more lenient with regard to Yomim She'en Gomer Behen Esahal. So that much I think we can sort of hold on to. And I'm wondering why. And I would like to offer two approaches to this question as to why we're makil on Yomim She'en Gomer Behen Esahal. One way is to say that what? It's only minug. It's only a minug. It's not even a takanas chachamim. Let me explain. We can talk about Hallel in three different levels. we can classify Hallel possibly as Doraisa, and that's what we have to see the Ramban in his Hasagis on the Sefer Mitzvah Ram, which you have on page 2. We can drop one level to a mitzvah derabbanan, and that's going to be the Rambam Shita. The Rambam is going to go out of his way to tell us that we recite a brach on Hallel, b'yomim shegomim es Hallel, because it's a mitzvah divrei sofrim, and it's not inferior to any mitzvah divrei sofrim that requires a bracha. Or we can drop down to the lowest level, if you will, and that's mishum minog in the case of yomim she'ein ayochid gomer behem nesahal. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Tainus that Rav once came into a synagogue in Bavel on Rosh Chodesh, and he realized that they were reciting Hallel, and he wanted to be mafsik them. He wanted to stop them in the middle until they quieted him down. They said he's only reading it b'diluk; he's not reading the whole Hallel. And midagav seichem b'yedchem. And therefore, the Rav Rav the Amora was okay with midagav seichem b'yedchem that you can recite Hallel b'diluk. Correct. They didn't even have that minhag. And possibly even in Chutz Laaretz, there were very few communities that originally had that minhag. And the minhag developed over the course of time. We're going to see in the Rambam that Hallel B'Diluk, there are many different ways of reciting Hallel B'Diluk.
How many
minhagim
do we have that we make a
bracha? Okay, that's going to be the second half of Ashiya today. And if not, I know you can't make it on Wednesday, but I was thinking maybe on Wednesday we could have a Skype share for those who want to this, or maybe I'll tape a share, we'll put it up on YU, you can listen to it on YU, whatever you like. But maybe we'll get to it today, because the question is, do we make a bracha on a minhag, do we not? Okay, I don't want to get off on a tangent. Classically, if you'd ask me, I would say we do make a bracha on a minhag. What do I have in mind? You have the Shei Shel Golias on the second night of Seder for those who enjoy eating Mara a second round. Again, I'm not in that league, but my Shver and Shvigah come, so we sit around and we sort of fashpil them, you know, we play with them and we do the Seder for them. So those who eat Mara for a second night, and for that matter, it's not just Mara, it's a Haggadah and it's Halil and it's Matzah and everything else, we make a bracha. So you see that there is such a thing as making a bracha on a minute.
So even so, but that doesn't change another aspect. The concept of a mafsik, right? You're saying that the brachas take on a lower level.
Yeah. So that's how I'm just suggesting that maybe because of COVID and because of Yira, again, we have to go through the power of the matir of both COVID and Yira, we're going to be more lenient when it comes to a recitation that's not even a mitzvah, even the rabbanon. It's not mishum takaros kachomim. It's only something that evolved as a minhag. However, Rabbi Sachnowitz was implying that maybe we could take a different approach. Let's assume that a minhag is also something very, very strict and very severe. After all, the Rambam says that if you violate a minhag, you violate lo sasur. I don't know if you got up to that Rambam. But in any event, a minhag is established and it has a certain power to it and a certain severity to it. But perhaps we could say something else. This whole issue about being mafsik, what's it all about? And here I can rewind all the way back to Kriyat Shema, because even in Kriyat Shema, we're very hesitant to be mafsik. And we'll do so for the sake of COVID, for the sake of Yira, maybe it's between Prakim, maybe it's even Ben Saperek. That's from Yehuda the Chacham, and we'll see about that. So I was thinking to myself that maybe we could reiterate a Yisod that we've mentioned over and over again here in this holy Beis Medrash here. I call it our Beis Medrash Katan here with regard to Kriyat Shema. And that is that Kriyat Shema is not just a recitation. It's reading parshiyos in the Torah. And there's halacha of reading those parshiyos kiksavam, the way they were given at Har Sinai, the way they were written as part of Torah Shebichsav. And therefore, we mentioned in the past that there are halachas about reading something kiksavam, there are restrictions. For example, we don't split a pasuk in half. called Parsha Delo Mafsik, is Lo Mafsikinen, Delo Mafsikinen, we're not Mafsik in the middle of a Parsha. We are very inhibited when the Torah requires us to read Parshias in the Torah. And they have to be read kiksavam. We had a whole discussion here about what the status of Shaar Lashonos is. And Rebbe, in fact, was opposed to reading Kriyat Shema and other Lashonos only in Lashon Kodesh, the way it was given. Perhaps the Chachamim, Shema B'chol Lashon Shata Shomea, maybe because they understand that there's a halacha that the Torah was given in Shivim Lashonos, whatever that means, again, not for now. But basically, everyone agrees that this halach of reading Parshiyos kicks some. If that be the case, to be mafsik in the middle, lo mi boy in the middle of a pasuk, which is called psukin de lo paski Moshe, but even in the case of being mafsik after we finish a parsha and before we embark on reading the next parsha, that too undermines the kiksavam of parshios. Because although Kriyat Shema is made up of three different parshios, there is an entity called Kriyat Shema. And that entity is the sum total of three parshios that are integrated to form one whole. And once I'm mafsik between Parsha A and Parsha B, or Parsha B and Parsha C, I've already undermined the halacha of kiksava. However, of course, we're going to be much more strict with regard to emtza haperek, because emtza haperek means I'm literally breaking up the parsha, and how much more so in the middle of a pasuk, because I'm breaking up a pasuk. So in the case of Emtza HaPerek, we'll be Mekil for Kavod, Shol Mifnei HaKavod according to Rabbi Yehuda. Bein Perek LePerek will be, I'm sorry, what did I say? I meant to say, did I say that right? Yeah. And between Perek and Perek will be even more Mekil. But in the middle of a Pasuk, I don't know if there's any cooler, even Mifnei HaYira. And maybe in the middle of Parsha, we'll only be making with Bnei Europe, not Bnei Kovin. And between Parshas, with Bnei Kovin. The question I want to raise with you today is, what's the halach of Hallel? Bishleim of Kriyat Shema, there's a requirement of reading Hiksava. But do we have to be inhibited in breaking up Hallel? And my knee-jerk response is that yes, Hallel is also a halacha of reading Parshios Kiksavam. And the proof is from the very fact that we're not going to allow you carte blanche, a heter, mifnei hakavod, mifnei hayira, to be mafsik. Even according to the Rosh Shita, who's the most lenient of the Shitos, nevertheless, we're not going to go beyond the heterim that applied to Kriyat Shema. We're in the same strictures as the mafsik, Bein HaPrakim Mipnei HaKovid, or even perhaps Be'emtza HaPerek, but only Mipnei HaYira, says the Rosh. Because even with regard to reading Hallel, we have our luck of reading him Kiksavam, and therefore we don't want to undermine the Mesorah, the way the Torah was given, and the Kiksavam. However, perhaps, we could suggest that Bamedvar Mamurim, that only applies when we're reading the entire Hallel. And if we're reading the entire Hallel, then each perek of Hallel is critical, and the sum total of integration of all these three prakim forms a Gmar Hallel, a complete entity, and therefore we don't want to be mafsik unless we have to. And between prakim, if it's Mnei Yira, it may be Mnei HaKavod, even Mnei HaKavod according to the Rosh, we could be mafsik. But if it's in the middle of a perek, we don't want to be mafsik unless it's with Bnei HaYira, unless there's some sort of, as we said before, an overriding, urgent necessity to be mafsik in the middle of a perek. Because by being mafsik in the middle of a perek, basically we're breaking up the kiksavam of a parsha. And that we don't want to do. But in the case of Yomim She'ein HaYachid Gomer Behem Es HaHalil, that means there's no significance to the prakim. If there was significance to the prakim, we would require all the prakim. And I want to tell you it goes even beyond that. Because if you look in the Rambam, in Halacha Zion in the same parak Gimel Mehilchas Chanukah, the Rambam says, Ketzad Medalgin, what prakim should we leave out? And the Rambam suggests his minhag, He calls it the minhag pashut, but then he says yesh medalgin dilun acher. There are other minhagim as well, and the Rambam is not rejecting them. It means that there's no special sing, you know, there are no prakim that are singled out that have to be read. As long as there is some sort of minhag to read those prakim, and that expresses our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our gratitude, our shevach, our praise, that's acceptable. The answer is, I believe that according to what we're seeing here in the Rosh, in Rabbeinu Yonah, in the Rambam, all told, there is no separate halacha of parshios, of prakim. Basically, it's very similar to what we find according to the Vilna Gaon. I don't know if you're familiar with this Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, you know, there's a sefer called Maisa Rav. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a compilation of the Minhagim and the Gra. One of the Minhagim and the Gra, which I've never actually seen, even though Eretz Yisrael is very impacted by the Minhag of the Gra, is that with regard to Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, he says that the tzibur should only recite Hodul Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lom Chasdo. They don't recite the psukim which the Shatz recites. You know, Beis Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, or whatever the psukim are. No, just say Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, and that's it. Which means that you're actually, according to the Grozman, you're leaving out psukim that make up a parsha. The answer is, apparently, according to the Gaon, on those days like Rosh Chodesh that we don't complete Hallel, there is no halach of reading parashios, because if there were, then every yachid should be reading the entire parasha. But rather, it's halach of psukim, and all these psukim express a Hallel and a Shevach Takodesh Baruch Hu. So whereas Kriyat Shema and Hallel B'yomim Shegomer B'emesal, on the one hand, require reading parashios in the Torah K'ksavon, but b'yomim she'ein atzibur, ein ayachid gomer b'esahalo, there's no halach of parshios, there's no halach of kiksovon, it's halach of psukim. Choose those psukim that express an eloquent praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the minhag is going to change from community to community as to which psukim we should choose. And if that be the case, then all the restrictions that we have of being mafsik that apply in the first two cases, meaning Kriyat Shema and Yomim Shehat Yochid Gomer Ben Esahalo, those strictures will apply as far as Parshios or Prakim are concerned. But when we get down to the level of Yomim She'ein Gomer Esatzibur, we have no strictures whatsoever as far as Prakim and Parshios are concerned. The only thing we have to be strict about is Psukim, and we can't be mafsik in the middle of a pasuk, unless you want to be mafsik for the sake of Yira, or possibly for the sake of Kavod. I don't know, we have to check that out. But the dinim of Hefsek are very strict with regard to the pasuk itself. But once we complete the pasuk, even if it's Be'emtza HaPerek, we can be Mekil. And therefore, even Rabbeinu Yonah, who takes the most extreme view, and he elevates Hallel to the same status as Kriyat Shema, and he wants us to be even beyond Kriyat Shema, be inhibited in terms of being mafsik, that's only as far as Yomim She'gomrim Bahem Mesahal. But Yomim She'ein Gomrim Mesahal, even Rabbeinu Yonah allows being mafsik, even B'emtza HaPerek Mibnei HaYira, Bein HaProkim Mibnei HaKovid. But I don't know if he would allow you to be mafsik in the middle of a pasuk, because that is the key of mitzvah of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, etc., to read psukim. And Rabosai, if this be the case, I wonder if we were going with that first approach that, you know, Yomim She'ein Atzibur Gomer Esa Hallel, we're going to be Mekil because it's a minog and it's only a minog. So you know what? I'm not even sure. Maybe you could be mafsik in the middle of a pasuk. For example, if I were to read a pasuk now, and all of a sudden somebody comes in and I want to say Shalom Aleichem to him, I would be allowed to say Shalom Aleichem. There's no kiyum in reading that pasuk as a pasuk. What is the status with regard to Yomim She'ein Atzibur Gomer Sahal? Can I be mafsik in the middle of a pasuk? And the answer is, if you're being mekil, because it's only a minog, it doesn't have the status of a kiyum mitzvah in the classical sense, not doraisa, not even the rabbanon, then why can't I be mafsik in the middle of a pasuk? But the way we said it, that no, we're not going to be mekil in Yomim Shein Atzivu Gomer Esahal because of a minog, but rather the difference is reflecting the different nature of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. My Kiyum HaMitzvah in the case of Halel Bedilug is only Shevach through Psukim, so then the Kiyum is the Pasuk, that's my unit. And just like in Yomim Shein Gomer Esahal or in Kriyat Shema, the unit is a Parsha, here the unit is a Pasuk. And I'm not going to step aside and forfeit the kiyum of reading a pasuk of Halel, even if it's only Mishum Minog, for no reason whatsoever. I'm going to need some sort of pressing reason, whether it's from the Ayir of Nea Kovet, to allow you to respond in the middle of a pasuk. All this is fine and dandy for Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm sorry, for the Rosh. But it's not going to help us with Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam. Because Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam, even if I grant you that Yomim Shahayochid Gomer Beheres HaHalil has a requirement of Kiksava and reading Parshios, and therefore we're very inhibited about being mafsik in the middle of a Parsha, and even between one Parsha and the other, but it still doesn't justify why it should be more Chomer than Kriyat Shema. Why does Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam insist that with regard to Emtza HaPerek, we're not going to allow you in the case of Yomim Shegomer Es HaHalel for a Hefsek at all, not even Mipnei Ayira? Why should we be more machmir on a mitzvah derabbanon, as we asked before, than we are with regard to a mitzvah d'orais?
Maybe he doesn't follow that it's a derabbanon. Maybe he follows the Rambam's point that it's a derabbanon.
I'm talking about the Rambam himself. The Rambam is the Baal HaShita who more than once tells us in his writings, or in the Mishneh Torah, also in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that Halil is only Derabbanan. And yet the Rambam seems to prohibit any sort of hefsek in the middle of a parsha of Halil, even though he himself is Mekil in the middle of a parsha of Kriyat Shema. So Rabotai, just to fall back again on what we said in the past, and that is that I'm not sure that you have to read all three parshiyos of Kriyat Shema in order to obtain a kiyum. Even though, again, the Rambam requires all three parshiyos d'oraisa. But which one of the Tanoim that we discussed last time read a lot less than three parshiyos in the Torah? Rebbe reviewed that Nasi, the Gemara says his Kriyat Shema was one Pasuk. Pili Ploim, it doesn't make any sense. The Rambam requires three Parshiyos, and Rebbe read one Pasuk. So I know what you'll tell me, that Rebbe was involved in a great mitzvah of teaching Torah. Taught Torah publicly. Okay, if that be the case, so why did he bother with the first Pasuk of Kriyat Shema? Shema Yisrael. Not only that, we saw in the case of a Yashen, someone who falls asleep. Again, I'm not saying that's the only way of reading the Rambam, but the simple, straightforward way of reading the Rambam is the Rambam says you wake him up for the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, and that's it. Let him fall back to sleep. So what we see, Rabosai, is something phenomenal about Kriyat Shema, that you don't have to read all three parshiyos to obtain a kiyum, and yet on the other hand, the Rambam says that all three parshiyos are required min haTorah d'oraisa. So we try to suggest a reconciliation between these two polar extremes, and we suggested the following. There are two dimensions to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. One is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, and the other is Kriyas HaParshios. With regard to Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, the Rambam says that you divide up Kriyat Shema into many different elements. One is Yichud Hashem, the other is Avas Hashem. The Rambam has Talmud, the Rambam has Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, the Rambam has Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are at least five different themes that make up Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And yet, the Rambam says that if you read the first pasuk, this is the sheet of Rabbi Meir, and you have Kavana to be Makabal O Malchus Shamayim, again, the first pasuk embodies how many of the five themes?
One.
Only one, namely what? Yichud Hashem. And the Rambam requires all the other themes. Apparently, the Rambam holds that if you fulfill through Kavanas Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim in the first pasuk, the kiyum of Yichud Hashem, somehow you obtain, or we called it a chalos, if you recall this discussion, of a kiyum of Avas Hashem, a kiyum of Talmudo, and perhaps Kabbalah's old mitzvahs. In the case of Rebbe, he was willing to forfeit one dimension of Kriyat Shema for the sake of Torah, of teaching Torah, not to interrupt, and that was the kiyum of Kriyas HaParshios. Because Kriyas HaParshios, we said, is Shinun, and he was involved in Shinun, he was teaching Torah, and Zeh Shinun, Vezeh Shinun. Why should he interrupt his teaching of Torah for the sake of reading the Parshios, which is also a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaParshios? But then there's a unique mitzvah in Kriyat Shema, which is not Shinun, it's not reading Torah, it's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Rebbe, despite his involvement in teaching Torah and transmitting Torah, he was still obligated in the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. So he took a break, he terminated his teaching in order to recite one pasuk, which according to the Rambam, through one pasuk, with the proper kavana to be makabel malchus shamayim, even though he's only saying Hashem Echad, the Yichud Hashem, somehow magically he achieves a kiyum of all the elements that make up and all the requirements that make up Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And the same thing applies to a Yashen. He's part of Mikol Mitzvah Sat Torah, because on Zo Shena, we're not going to wake him up for any mitzvah except for one. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. That mitzvah is so severe that we're going to have to wake him up, and he's going to recite the first pasuk, which according to Rabbi Meir, and that's how the Ram Paskins, is enough to be Mekayim Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And if this be the case, Rabosai, perhaps dafka because of the chumrah of Kriyat Shema, it's a chumrah shemeviel idei kula. Inherent in this chumrah, I can generate a kula. Because as opposed to reading all the parashas of Hallel, which is an all or nothing endeavor, either you take it all or you're left with nothing, because that's called Gomer Bahenes HaHallel, and all these prakim together make up the entity of Hallel. With regard to Kriyat Shema, it's not an all or nothing endeavor. True, as far as the kiyum of Kriyas HaParshios are concerned, we need all three parashios. The Ram holds they're all Doraisa. But at least what you can salvage is the kiyum of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And for that, you don't have to read all three parashios. The Ram has them incorporated into one pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Is Memela Rabosai, when we get to the sugya being mafsik, whether it's Bein HaParshios or even in the middle of the parsha, the answer is we can break up the parsha into its various component parts. For example, in the case of the first of the three parshas of Kriyat Shema, how many different parts do we have? How many different elements of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim reflect themselves in the first parsha of Kriyat Shema? Three, correct? Yichud Hashem, Avas Hashem, and Talmudo, Veshinantam Levanecha. When we get to the second parsha of Kriyat Shema, we express the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim of what? Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs. When we get to the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, we express the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Since the parshios, as far as the kiyum of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim are divided up, they can be broken down into smaller pieces, smaller elements, there's room to be mafsik. For example, let's say he reads the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, and now someone goes by, and he wants to be Shol Mipnei HaKovid, correct? Or Shol Mipnei HaYira, that's even more impressive. And he's already read the first pasuk. He already has achieved a complete unit of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. We're going to be more lenient, paradoxically, in the case of Kriyat Shema D'oraisa than we would be in Kriyas HaHalal D'Rabbanan. Why? Because in Kriyas HaHalal D'Rabbanan, it's an all or nothing endeavor. Either you read the whole parasha, the whole parak, and all the prakim, or you don't. When you are mafsik, you split the parsha into half, and the first part with the second part is not integrated into one whole. So you don't have a Kriyas HaParsha Kiksova. Masha ain't came in Kriyat Shema, although I admit that through the hefsek, I forfeit the Kriyas HaParsha Kiksova, but at least what do I salvage? Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Is therefore I would suggest to you the following, that if you have to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyat Shema, with its Mipnei HaKovid, Mipnei HaYira, and all the different scenarios and different shitos, you would try to be mafsik between one element of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim and another element of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. See, in the case of the second parasha or the third parasha, in those cases, it's a little bit more complicated logistically, because basically the entire parasha reflects that element of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, whatever it might be, whether it's Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs in the second parasha, whether it's Sechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in the third parasha. We're going to have a hard time cutting up the parasha into its parts. Perhaps, does anybody have a sitter here? Let's just take... Yeah, okay, I think, let's see. Well, this is good enough. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, a matzah is good enough. Let's just open up the Kriyat Shema. That's in a matzah, is it not? And let's take a look at the second parasha Kriyat Shema. Where, let's say you have an option of being mafsik in the second parasha of Kriyat Shema. Where should you be mafsik? It says, V'hoyim shema tishmol mitzvosai shanokim mitzav eschem ayom. Right? And this is all about the mitzvahs. And then it says, Hishamu lachem pen yiftel avavchem. So I don't know. Maybe before Hishamu lachem, between Vayim Shemoa, which is the positive, and Hishamu lachem, which is the negative, maybe that's where I could wedge in a hefsek. Or alternatively, if let's say I want to link together both the positive Vayim Shemoa Tishmu with the negative Hishamu lachem, then maybe I could wedge in a hefsek after Vishtachvisim Lahem, and the next pasuk is V'chara Af Hashem Bachem. That's already the punishment for violating the mitzvah HaTorah. Let's say I want to include the punishment in that Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. I have to be a Kabbalah myself, even the punishment. Then it says, Ukshartem Osom Lios HaYedchem. I don't know, that's Tefillin. I don't know if Tefillin is an integral part of the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, and so forth and so on. So what you'd have to do in the case of the second parasha is you'd really have to do a serious analysis of how to divide up the various elements of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. But Rabosa, I want to show you something on the flip side of your page. The Rambam says the following. This is Perek Gimel Hilchos Chanukah Halachas Zayin. And the Rambam says that Rosh Chodashim Kriyas HaHal Minog V'Eina Mitzvah. U'minog Ze B'Tzibur L'Fichach Korim B'Diluk. The Rambam adds a very important limitation to the case of Hallel Kishayim Gomer Misahalil, and that is Minig Zebit Sibur. And then he says, V'yachid lo yikra klal. Now again, I don't think the Rama would have any objection to reading Halal Bedilug B'yachidus. Sachakol, it's psukim in Tanakh, in Ksuvim. But nevertheless, there's no minog whatsoever, says the Rambam, for a yachid to recite Halal B'Diluk. The whole concept of Halal B'Diluk, says the Rambam, is limited to the tzibur. If you take a look at Tosfos here on Daf Yudalit, Divar Maschil Yachid, Yomim Shai Yachid Gomer B'Mesahalil, he says that on Yomim She'ein HaYachid Gomer Sahalil, there's no difference between a Yachid and a Tzibur. In fact, Tosfos makes the point more than once that the language of the Shas, which sounds like it's differentiating, it's distinguishing between the Yachid and the Tzibur, is Lav Dafka. And there's no difference between the Yachid and the Tzibur. And basically, the Tshitas HaTosis is that in the case of Gomer Ba'enes HaHalil, the 21 days, is Yomim Shai Yachid Gomer Sahal Ves HaTzibur Gomer Sahal. Or when we get to Yomim She'ein HaYachid Gomer Ba'enes HaHalil, there's no difference between the Yachid and the Tzibur. Meaning it's all Mishum Minhag, and it's not a Chova. But nowhere does Tosfos allow for a distinction between the Yachid and the Tzibur. The whole distinction here that the Gemara seems to make, according to Tosfos, Yachid and Tzibur is Lav Dafka, don't take it seriously. So whereas Tosfos would have all of us, as Yechidim, recite Halal on Rosh Chodesh B'Dilu, and that would be only a Minhag but not a Chovah, The Rambam says that the minhag of reciting Hallel B'dilug is only B'tzipur. In other words, when we mentioned the Gemara in Tainis, that Rav came in and he saw that they were reciting Hallel B'dilug, and they said, Minhag Avosechem Yadechem, that's only, according to the Rambam, because they were a Kehilah. They were reading it as a Tzibur. But a Yochid doesn't have this minhag at all. Completely omits it. And perhaps we can justify the Rambam. I mean, again, does anybody... I have a crazy way of going with this, but does anybody have a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel why the Rambam should differentiate between the Tzibur and the Yachid?
The Minhag B'dilug, only that the Tzibur does it.
Correct, but why? I mean, there should be some rationale. You're right. But Minhag Yisrael Torah, you know, why the Tzibur?
Yes, the Tzibur, then the Yachid.
No, we're talking about Rosh Chodesh. Now, Rosh Chodesh, or for example, Chol HaMoed Pesach, we're not really talking about Hallel Mishum Nes. We're talking about Hallel Mishum Yontif. Again, whether Rosh Chodesh is a Yontif or not, I mean, we have a lot to talk about that. But I don't know that when you speak about Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, you should introduce the concept of Nes.
There's an Indian by benching. Between the, yeah. When it comes to a million or even greater number, we add the Shevach Kodesh Baruch Hu in the introduction.
Oh, you mean to say, like, for example, in Zimun we find
Zimun, yeah, the Lekeinu, the greater number. There's another Loshen,
right?
In the Shevach, Brave Ham had a Samel of some sort.
Rabbi, maybe Rosh Chodesh you need a Klal, and to have a Halal, you can't. It's a Klal thing, to sanctify the moon, you need a minion.
Okay, good. He says very well. Then maybe, just as we find in the mitzvah of HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, when we declare the new moon, the new month, we can only do it B'tzibur. Again, who represents the tzibur to sanctify the month and establish it? It's Bezdin, it's the Bezdin HaGadol. You and I can't represent the tzibur. But maybe, this I heard from the Rav once, that after Bitla Sanhedrin, what we find is that the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh takes on a different form. It's no longer Bezdin and the Sanhedrin representing the Tzibur, it somehow falls back onto the Tzibur itself. And that's what the Rav understood, that on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, we were Mevarchim, Mevarchim as HaChodesh, that's called Hachraza in the Lashon of the Rishonim. We declare that such a day is the day of Rosh Chodesh. That itself is an acceptance on the part of the Tzibur of a certain day as Rosh Chodesh. So since the concept of Rosh Chodesh, insofar as it establishes the new month, is relevant to the Tzibur and only to the Tzibur, the Yachid has no power, no authority whatsoever with regard to the mitzvah HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Therefore, Hallel, insofar as it too is one of the various, shall we say, expressions or manifestations of Kiddush HaChodesh, and we want to sanctify Rosh Chodesh through Hallel, that's the minug. Says the Rambam, B'med Dvar Amurim, that's only the Tzibur, because if you're trying to sanctify the month, that's only relevant, that's an obligation that's only incumbent upon the Tzibur and not on the Yochid. But Bosai, let me take a few more minutes of your time to discuss the Ramban Shita. The Ramban is of the opinion that Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is Doraisa. Now that sounds pretty way out. We don't even know that Hallel on a Moed is Doraisa, let alone on Rosh Chodesh. The Ramban finds a parsha in the Torah, this is in Baal Oscha, that is the source for the mitzvah of Hallel Doraisa. And here he's arguing with the Rambam in a very, very fundamental way. And he brings many proofs to establish that Hallel is Doraisa, first and foremost on a Moed. But why? Where does it say in the parshas HaMoedim that there's a mitzvah of Hallel? In fact, if you look carefully in the parasha of the Moedim, which appears a few places in the Torah, you won't find any allusion to Hallel. But the Ramban finds an allusion to Hallel in parashas Baal Oscha, fluky. What's the mitzvah that's given on the Moedim in parashas Baal Oscha? Chatzotzos. Wow. The Ramban sees in the mitzvah of Chatzotros a source, a basis for the mitzvah of Hallel. He says, "Hanirbi devrayim shehu min haTorah k'mo shepirashti," and either it's Halach l'Moshe miSinai. Okay, that's one interpretation of the Ramban. I'm focused more on the second interpretation of the Ramban. O shehu bichlal hasimcha shenitz tavinu ba. We know that a moed is a day of simcha. The Torah commands us to be mekayim in the midst of simcha on a moed. And the Ramban says that you'll ask me, what is the fulfillment of simcha on a moed? And we know from many sugyas and shas that it has to do with achilas basar and shesias yayin. And the Ramban wants to say, let's throw into this list of pu'ulot through which we're mekayim in the midst of simcha on yontif, the pu'ula of blowing chatzotros. Why is blowing chatzotros a kiyum of simcha? Because the Torah says in Parshas Baloscha, and I always remember where this pasuk is, because if you're traveling in New York, as I'm wont to do, in a car, and you want to know about, you know, which streets and which neighborhoods to avoid because of the traffic, which bridges to avoid, so you turn on what? 10-10 winds. That's what's called 10-10 winds. So this is 10-10 in Parshas in Sefer Bamidbar, and there it says Biyom Simchaschem Uvemoadechem Uverashe Chodshechem Utkatem Bechatzotzros. Now, we are very impressed with the fact that the Ramban highlights two words in this pasuk and combines them together. Number one, Simchaschem, which is Simcha, and the Moedim are called the days of Simcha. Again, assuming the word Umoadechem is in a positive phrase, B'Simchaschem Kama, Uve Moadechem. And then it says, Utkatem Be Chatzotros. And the Ramban says that Chatzotros is a kium of Simchas HaRegel. Even though the Ramban seems to be almost oblivious to the next few words in the pasuk, al oloseichem v'al zivchei shalmeichem. Wait a minute. This kiyum of blowing the chatzotros on the moadim is not just the mitzvah of simcha, but it's uniquely and singularly connected to what? To the karban. I would have said that this is a kiyum karban, not a kiyum yontif, but on yontif we have certain specific karbanos, and as part of the process of bringing those karbanos, we have to blow the chatzotros, and not only that, even if I grant the Ramban's radical breakthrough revolution that chatzotros is a mitzvah of simcha, irrelevant to the karbanos, but that's blowing the chatzotros. What does that have to do with Hallel? Ah, says the Ramban, you already caught my trap. Because once you admit to me that chatzotros is a kiyum simcha, then there's no logical reason to limit that to chatzotros, but rather ikar shira b'peh. The chatzotros are a secondary accompaniment. It's like if you had suppose you had an orchestra, no, a symphony orchestra, but the symphony orchestra is accompanying a singer who is singing verbally, orally. He says that the chatzotzos are nothing more than an accompaniment. He calls it lipsume kolahu. That's a phrase in the Gemara in Zvachim, lipsule kolah. Meaning, what the Torah is telling us is that shir, which is halel b'peh or chatzotzos b'kli, is a mitzvah that can only be fulfilled, even though it's a mitzvah of simcha, b'shas karban. You say, how's that going to help us for halel? Halel is being recited, even shalom b'shas karban. Says the Ramban that they recited Hallel B'Shas Karban as a kiyum mitzvah d'oraisa of Simcha, and it's not, and it doesn't fall short of Chatzotros to the same extent, and even greater than Chatzotros. There's a mitzvah of blowing Chatzotros Mishum Simcha, and that's blown in the Beis HaMikdash at the time of the bringing of the Karbanos. There's even a greater mitzvah at the time of bringing Karbanos of Simcha, which is fulfilled through Hallel, through the oral recitation of Hallel. Now, what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, likewise, is written in this pasuk, B'yom Simchaschem Odech Rosh Chodeshechem. utkate bechatzot shel salol osechem v'al zivchei shalmechem, meaning that there are special unique karbonos that are brought on Rosh Chodesh, and those karbonos that are brought on Rosh Chodesh are no different than the karbonos that are brought on the Moedim, because the Torah here in this pasuk is combining and extending simcha from Moed to Rosh Chodesh, so that same kiyum simcha that exists on the Moedim exists on Rosh Chodesh, but you can only fulfill that mitzvah of Hallel, which is bepeh, or blowing the chatzotros, which is bekli, as a kiyum mitzvah simcha on Rosh Chodesh at the time that you bring the korban. And therefore, El Shemiyato Rosh Chodoshim Bigvulin. Whoa. Rabosai, these four words, these five words, you have to underline. And you have to memorize them. And review them over and over again when you say Kriyat Shema L'Amita. Because it's unbelievable. You know what the Ramban is saying? The Ramban is saying that this mitzvah of Utkatim V'Chatzotros has two forms. And I'm not talking about B'Kli or B'Peh. There are two occasions in which we fulfill this mitzvah. One is B'Migdash, B'Shas HaKrovas HaKarbon, and the other is outside of the Beis HaMikdash on the day itself. Meaning, to the same extent, there's a special unique mitzvah of Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash, and that mitzvah of Simcha is carried out, is implemented, B'Shas Karbon. There's another mitzvah of Simcha that's not limited to the Karbon. It's a mitzvah of Simcha which evolves or is generated by the day itself, whether it be the Moed in the case of Shlosh Saragolim, whether it be Rosh Chodesh in the case of Rosh Chodesh, and that mitzvah is going to be fulfilled even outside the Beis HaMikdash because of the nature of the day. So again, if you have a day of Moed, you're going to have to fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiah and Hallel, Mishum Simcha, but B'Shas HaKorban in the Beis HaMikdash. In addition, on a Moed, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, B'Gvulin, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, which is going to be fulfilled through the recitation of Hallel, Chatzotros not, because Chatzotros can only be fulfilled in the Mikdash, but in Gvulin at least you have the Shira B'Peh of Hallel, anywhere B'Gvulin, which is engendered by the day of Simcha itself. And now we have a mitzvah of Hallel Doraisa outside of the Beis HaMikdash.
Just in Israel.
I don't know about just in Israel. One second. I don't know what you know, Mitch, that I don't know. One second.
What's B'Gvulin?
No, Gvulin means outside the Mikdash. And if there's a mitzvah of Simcha outside the Mikdash, the mitzvah of Simcha applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Again, what the Ramban is saying is that Simcha is the essential mitzvah of Moedim. It takes on a new form in the Beis HaMikdash, and that requires the Tkiyah Bechatzotros, Al Oloseichem Ve'al Zivcheichem. But that same mitzvah of Simcha, which is derived from Utkatim Bechatzotros, engenders at least a mitzvah of Hal B'Peh, which has nothing to do with Mikdash, but has to do with Simcha. How do I fulfill my mitzvah of Simcha on a Moed? I recite Hallel, and that's a mitzvah Doraisa. No, if that be the case, the Ramban is now stuck. Because let's take, if this pasuk is the source for the mitzvah of Simcha, the Om Simchaschem of Moedechem of reciting Hallel, then what's the next word in the pasuk? Uber Rosh Chodeshechem. Then according to Ramban, logically there should be a mitzvah outside the Beis HaMikdash of reciting Hallel, a mitzvah Doraisa, Mishum Rosh Chodesh, insofar as Rosh Chodesh is also a day of Simcha, and why would I ever in my wildest dreams classify Rosh Chodesh as a day of Simcha? The answer is because it says V'yom Simchaschem, comma, and what is V'yom Simchaschem? The Torah spells it out. Number one, V'moadechem, and number two, V'rosh Chodeshechem. Says the Ramban, I have an answer to this question. Five words. I told you to memorize them. El Shemiyato Miatu Rosh Chodeshechem Bigvulin. Says the Ramban that the mitzvah of Simcha alone, if it stands on itself independent of another mitzvah, is not enough, it's not powerful enough to engender a mitzvah d'oraisa of Hallel. We need another condition. What's the second condition? In order for the day itself to engender a chiyuv halal, I need not only simchaschem, but also what? Kedushas hayom. It's got to be a day that's sanctified. Again, as far as the mitzvah of tekiah, bechatzotzos, and recitation of Hallel in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a mitzvah doraisa, even without Kedushas Hayom, because that is whenever you bring that special carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, of Yom Simchaskem Rosh Hashechem, you have to accompany those carbonos with a tekiah bechatzotzos, and of course with Shira B'Peh. That's doraisa. I don't need Kedushas Hayom. However, once I leave the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, and I want to set up a Kiyum Simcha through Hallel, in Gvulim, says the Ramban, for that I need another condition to be fulfilled. It's got to be Mekudesh L'Chag. And this is based on the Sugya and Erechin. So again, Hallel Begvulin, even according to the Ramban on Rosh Chodesh, is Dirabbanan. Hallel Begvulin on Moadim, according to the Ramban, is Doraisa. Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is Doraisa, but only in the Beis HaMikdash, B'Shas HaKrovas HaKrovas. So whereas in the Beis HaMikdash I don't need anything more than Akrovas HaKarbon in order to engender this Kiyum Simcha of Hallel, outside the Beis HaMikdash where there's no Karbon, it's not sufficient to say that the day is endowed with the character of Simcha. That's not sufficient in order to engender bits of Hallel. I need another dimension, and that's Kedushas Hayom, his Kaddish L'Chag. The nafkamin is going to be between Moadim and Rosh Chodeshim. Moadim have Kedushas Hayom, and therefore I can engender a mitzvah of Hal Doraisa, even Begvulin. Whereas, in contrast, Rosh Chodeshim, even though in Migdash they have a mitzvah of Hal because of the Simcha of Rosh Chodesh at the time of that Akrovas HaKarbon, and we would have therefore, by analogy, equated Rosh Chodesh to Moadim and generated a mitzvah d'oraisa of Hallel Begvulin on Rosh Chodesh, the answer is no. There's a fundamental difference between Moadim and Rosh Chodeshim. Moadim have Kedushas Hayom. Rosh Chodesh is completely stripped of Kedushas Hayom. And therefore there's no Chiyuv Hallel on Rosh Chodesh on a d'oraisa level. That's why the Gemara establishes that Hallel on Rosh Chodesh b'dilug is only Mishum Minog. Minog Avoseichem Yedchem. But says the Ramban, if you would take Rosh Chodesh in the Migdash, then Biyom Simchaschem Rosh Chodeshim would engender a mitzvah of Hallel Doraisa at the time that the Karbonos are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, those unique Karbonos of Rosh Chodesh.
So according to Ramban, Cholonoi,
the Pesach has no Kedushas Moed? The mitzvah, according to the Ramban, of Hallel on Chol HaMoed Pesach is no different than the mitzvah of Hallel on Sukkos. And to the same extent that on Sukkos we recite Hallel, a full Hallel, according to Ramban, is a key of mitzvah d'oraisa of Biyom Simchaschem, which applies even Begvulin, the same identical halach should apply on Pesach. Why don't we recite Hallel on Pesach? So the Gemara gives a very strange answer in the Masechta Erechin Daf Yudam in Beis, and the Gemara says because Eino Cholik VeKarbonoso. And the Rav used to say in the name of Reb Chaim, somebody once asked Reb Chaim, if I didn't recite Hallel on the first day of Pesach, I was in a coma, Rachmana Litzlan. I broke out of the coma on the second day of Pesach, or the third day in Chutz Laretz. Reb Chaim paskin for him, he should recite the entire Hallel. Because Eino Cholik B'Karbonoseya means that the Kedushas Hayom of Moed in the case of Pesach that engenders the Chiyuv Hallel is one continuous Kedushas Hayom that begins on the first day of Pesach and ends and terminates on the last day of Pesach. Mashenkein Sukkos, every single day of Sukkos has its own unique Kedushas Hayom. Haraya, how do I prove that? It's a different carbon. Since there's a unique carbon on each day of Sukkos, it engenders a brand new Kedushas Hayom. And that will engender a Chiyuv Hallel on every single day of Sukkot as a result of its unique Kiddush Sayom on that day. But Pesach is one long Kiddush Sayom, and therefore the recitation of Hallel requires once for the entire Kiddush Sayom, that Chativa, that unit of 7 days of Pesach. If, on the other hand, this was Reb Chaim's argument, he did not recite Hallel on the first day of Pesach, then El Chinami has to recite the full Hallel on the second day of Pesach, because Pesach engenders Hallel, because it's Kiddush Hayom, no less than Sukkot does. And Chol HaMoed is the same Kiddush Hayom as Yontif, and this we discussed once at great length. I don't know if you were here, Yechiel. We spoke about the fact that Reb Chaim was of the opinion that Chol HaMoed has the same identical Kiddush Hayom as Yontif itself, just the Torah's matir malach under certain circumstances. But that was a long discussion. Okay, Rav Osi, we'll stop here. And if anyone's interested on Wednesday, I would probably enjoy a Skype share, or if anyone wants to come to Shul's in 16, that's fine. Or perhaps a share online. I don't think so. Again, unless you sign a petition, you know.
How does that come to the Gemara's answer about it's different than his carbon? Sukkot is different from Pesach. That when the Gemara goes out of the way to explain that what's unique about Shmini Atzeres is Pesach Shav, and the Kuf is carbon, that Shmini Atzeres is unique in its carbon relative to the other days, but the other days are unique themselves in carbon, according to what we're saying. So that's not a distinction of uniqueness of Shmini Atzeres anymore. If every day
I don't get it. What is the Gemara assuming? That you don't say Hallel on Shmini Atzeres, or
no,
you do?
No, you do. But they're looking at Shmini Atzeres as a Yom Tov Pnei Atzmo.
Okay.
Why is it Pnei Atzmo? Why is it not the eighth day of Sukkot? And why is it Yom Tov Pnei Atzmo? So he gave six reasons.
Right.
One of them is carbon. It's unique because it has unique carbon. But now what we're saying is that every day Sukkot has unique carbon, and that's why it deserves to have a Hallel Shalom. If you said every day had the same carbon, and you said Chatzi Hallel, that can understand.
So you're asking why did the sugya need Pazar Kashav? Why not just the kuf?
Get rid of the kuf.
So I don't know in general what the Rishonim say on that. You have Erech in there? Take a look at what the Rishonim say. Why you need Pazar Kashav? I have a feeling that Pazar Kashav in the Rishonim is just a way of expressing that it has its own unique Kiddush Sayyom. And it's not different than any other day of Sukkot in that sense.
No, I understand, but I'm saying every day of Sukkot has a unique carbon, according to a second.
Right.
So to say that what's so special about Shmini Atzeres because there's a unique carbon. That's not so special about Shmini Atzeres. The fifth day of Sukkot is also a unique carbon. Throw that one out.
Okay, no. I think the Gemara is coming lafuki that it's not the same carbon as the seventh day of Sukkot.
It's not, but the seventh is not the same as the sixth you just told us. That's what the Gemara's answer
is. No, but I'm asking, let's say in Sukkot, on the third day of Sukkot, you'd bring the same carbon that you brought on the second day.
Right.
If there was such a thing.
Right.
Then you would not say Hallel on the third day.
I would say Hallel.
Sure. No, I'm not talking about Diluk. Forget about Diluk. That's something else. I'm talking about Hallel. So the same thing in Shmini Atzeres. If Shmini Atzeres would have the same carbon as the seventh day of Sukkot, it would be included in the Hallel of the seventh day of Sukkot. Why does Shmini Atzeres require its own Hallel? Because it has its own carbon. It's not the carbon that you brought yesterday. It's Shivim Parim, whatever it is. There.
I meant to say
Kivsei Atzeres or whatever it is.
No, I understand that, but I understood.
Now, why you need the other five, I don't know. That you're right. But as far as a carbon of Pnei Atzmo, it means that it's a carbon that is contrasted with the carbon that was brought the previous day. And that indicates that it has its own Kiddush Sayyom. It's like the eighth day of Sukkot, let's say. The eighth day of Sukkot would also require Hallel if you would prove to me that the eighth day of Sukkot has its own carbon. So therefore, the Gemara is very beautiful.
No, I understand what it doesn't show uniquely from the other days of Sukkot anymore. I understood the Gemara is trying to understand what is so unique about Shmini Atzeres that it's a Yontif Pnei Atzmo, and it's not the eighth day of Sukkot.
Right.
Why is it a new Chalos of New Yontif?
Right.
Well, it has six unique things. It doesn't appear on any other day of Sukkot.
But forget about the six. Let's say only one. If your kash is why we need the other five, then I have to go through the sugya. But let's say the Gemara. Why isn't the Gemara justified by saying that it has a carbon unto itself?
Because then I would say sixth day of Sukkot, which is the Yom, should be its own Yom Tov too. It shouldn't be the sixth day of Sukkot. It should be a unique thing, whatever name you want to
give. Wait a minute. Are we talking about Hallel or are we talking about other dinim?
I'm talking about other dinim.
Oh, I don't know. That's what the Gemara is talking about? Oh, I don't know. I thought the Gemara was talking about Hallel.
I don't think so.
So I misunderstood the whole discussion. Let's start from scratch again. Okay. Why does the Gemara quote Pazar Kashav? To prove what?
Well, the Shmiyat says is Yadav Pnei Atzma.
Minaf Gemina, though.
Minaf Gemina, I don't do the mitzvahs of Dalaminim, I don't do the mitzvahs of Yishuv.
Oh, you mean the Gemara was clearing whether or not you have to sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Oh.
I think so, but I mean, I'm now remembering. But I'm
okay, saying, so now, so what's your question now?
So the Gemara says,
now at least I'm focused.
Shmini Atzeres is not part of Sukkah.
Right.
It doesn't have the mitzvahs of Sukkah.
Why?
Because it's unique. What makes it unique? Six reasons.
Right. So what's your question now?
So I'm saying, these are very nice reasons, but to me, to say, if the Gemara is giving, here are six unique things about this day, I'm just saying, then one of them is not unique about this day. The carbon, because that was also unique about the sixth day, also unique about the fifth day, also about the fourth day. It's not unique anymore about Shmini Atzeres.
No, but with regard to Sukkah, the Pasuk says, Shivas Yom Teshuv Sukkah, so that's not an issue. The issue is whether or not I leave the Sukkah for the Shmini Atzeres, and the answer is, since it says Shivas Yomim, and now you've established that it has its own Kiddusha, right? It has a different carbon than any of the previous days, therefore you don't sit in Sukkah. Again, I don't understand exactly why there was a Hava Mina.
Right.
I think we're both missing something in the Sukkah, right?
Yeah.
But if there was such a Hava Mina that you'd sit in Sukkah on the eighth day, then the Gemara is pointing out that Adarab, the burden of proof is on you to establish that you have to sit in Sukkah on the eighth day because it has its own Kedusha. Harai, you bring its own carbon. It's not the carbon of Sukkah.
Right. Okay. I have to go look this
But up. I was focused more on Halal.
Right.
I was just suggesting that if the carbon is, and that's why I think Reb Chaim was saying, that if it's a repeat carbon, then how does the Kedusha Yom change? You know, let's say you're going into Bein HaShemashes from the second day of Pesach to the third day of Pesach. So why does that Bein HaShemashes engender Kedusha? Adarabba, the Kedusha of all 7 days of Pesach is engendered by the Bein HaShemashes as we enter into Leil Rishon Shel Chag.
Right.
In the case of Sukkot, I need a new Bein HaShemashos to engender every single day, to engender a new Kedush Sayom that's going to reflect itself in a new Karban. And therefore, if there's a new Kedush Sayom, I need a new Hallel.
But there's one Kedush in the whole way
through. True, I don't. Said Reb Chaim, but you aren't Makayim, that Hallel of Kedush Sayom. Because you were in a coma on the first day.
So according to Chaim, you're not in a coma. You said Hallel Shalom on first day of Pesach.
That counts for all of them.
But you're living Chutz Laaretz. Why do you say Hallel Shalom on the second day?
Oh, that's really a whole... That has to do with the fact that we don't believe that the first day was the first day. Again, that's complicated. I mean, again, for that you have to know what Yom Tishrei Shagolius is. I mean, that would be That would be a...
So someone who's in Eretz Yisrael, but he's keeping 2 days. Right? With the Maisa, I would say, okay, the
first
day...
He's in Eretz Yisrael and he's keeping 2 days.
So for sure the first day was Yom Tishrei. And he said,
Yechiel, this is a whole different thing. I mean, again, why is he keeping 2 days? It's very strange. I mean, the argument of the Chacham Tzvi was that the first day has Kedusha Yom. How can you extend to the second day? You're in Eretz Yisrael.
I like that.
Okay. So I'm saying, what's the counter argument against the Chacham Tzvi? You know, that's not easy to come up with.
I agree.
Right.
But see,
so again, if you want a shortcut, open up. You know, Moshe Rav Kook has a Masechta Pesachim that they published. And a few other Masechtas. I don't remember how many Masechtas came out. They, for some reason, they terminated the project. Halacha Brura, exactly. You have it on Pesachim, so if you open up to Mokom Shenagu, he's got 2 pages explaining all the Shitas about Yom Tov Shein Shagolius and as it applies here in Eretz Yisrael. If you want even a shorter shortcut, you can open up the Encyclopedia Talmud. It already came out with Yom Tov Shein Shagolius. But truth be told, whatever explanation you're going to come up with is going to be Shvach HaMaisis, because the Chacham Tzvi is 100% correct. And they say, in the name of the Alter Rebbe, that the Shulchan Aruch Rav said, how can two Jews be walking down the same street, one has Kedusha Yom, one doesn't have Kedusha Yom? You know, that was just Lasabras. So you have to know exactly how it works. I mean, it's complicated. It probably has to do with Gavra versus Chefta, meaning that there are 2 dimensions to Yontif. There's the Kedusha Sayom, and then there's the Gavra observing the Kedusha Sayom. What an American, for example, is doing in Eretz Yisrael, if he's observing a second day, is not in the Chefta Shel Yom. I mean, the Yom doesn't have Kedusha to it. It's a din of Makom Shenagu, meaning Makom Shenagu means it's a din of the Gavra. I take with me those Chumras. I act it out as if it was Yontif, but it's not really Yontif. I don't know.
Right. Was it Rav Shechter's Sefer on the Rav, or I don't know where I read it, where one, the, I don't know how many times Rav Soloveitchik should make that as well, but he made it over Shavuos one year when he was younger.
Right, it was no enough to me.
His father told him that on second day, make sure you put on tefillin. Yeah? But it turned out that that year was Shabbos.
It was Shabbos anyway, so, right, right.
So he was telling him that...
No, because Reb Chaim paskin like the Chacham Tzvi.
Right, he did, yeah. I understand. But
Reb Chaim is not impressed by the Mishnah Berurah. That's why I keep telling the Olam here. That's why it's so hard for me here, because... You know, everybody relies only on the Mishnah Berurah, and I'm not taking away from the Gaus. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't need my Askama. But, you know, there are other Darkei Alimud in the world, you know. So everyone assumes if you're an Ashkenazic Jew, then the final word is the Mishnah Berurah. But I wasn't raised like that, you know. It wasn't... again, in 99.9% of the case, the Mishnah Berurah is 100% right, and there's no question. But it's that, you know, a little... So when it comes to an Israeli, an American in Eretz Yisrael, that's one of the point .0001 cases out of 100 where the briskers had a different mahalach than the Mishnah Berurah.
It's not, but those people keep one day for sure. Yeah, but the whole sugya, by the way, it's all this is all focused on whether there's such a terrible thing, Ilu, on saying two extra kapitla mizmorim and halal, that we have to come to this whole rationale.
So then you have to know, Yechiel, that halal bedilug is a whole different entity. Again, there are different minhagim, and the Rambam indicates that, but basically, Hallel was structured by Chazal, by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, as tefillah. It's a duplicate of tefillah. And it has to have various elements in it, because tefillah always requires an element of bakasha. Hallel B'dilug is a whole different entity. The bakasha was completely removed. I mean, maybe there's one pasuk that sounds like bakasha, and somehow it snuck in there, but... Fundamentally, Hallel B'dilug leaves out, cuts out all the elements that would make Hallel into a structured Shmoneh Esrei. So even though you and I might think on the surface of it, all right, so you left out a couple of paragraphs, what's the big deal, who cares, throw them in, throw them out. It's a whole different structure, it's a whole different kiyum. And then Afkamina is that according to the Rambam, this whole business of Hallel B'dilug was only accepted as a minig b'tzibur, and moreover, the Rambam and many Rishonim would leave out a brach on Hallel B'dilug. So, Dilug is important.
Right.
I think there are Sfarim who will say it b'tzibur, they'll allow the Shats to say it. I forget which, the Afghanistans or maybe the Tunisians, I don't remember which one.
We always have another guy say the brach.
Yeah. Ask your wife, who is it? Your wife's uncle is the Yemenite Rav? Who's the Yemenite Rav in your family?
My brother-in-law's brother. My brother-in-law's brother-in-law.
Oh, all right. So it's but if you can, I wouldn't be surprised if the Yemenites will allow the Shats to make a bracha, but not the members of the community. You understand the kahal?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was Lichmer and Zinin, but I know it's many years ago since I dabbled in this. To me, this was exciting because I was looking for an opportunity to learn the sugya of Hallel, and it came up right here on the next daf. Doesn't mean I didn't skip. I mean, we skipped a lot on Kriyat Shema. Yud Gimel Amud Beis, which I skipped, is very important for Kriyat Shema. But I felt that this is Bein Hazman. If we can gather together the troops, we had a nice Olam. It turned out, I was expecting four or five people. We had, I think, seven or eight.
This is he. I never saw him before.
Never saw him. Yeah, he's a physician. And you brought your son along, so you get the key of doubling, you know. I don't know why he sat out there, because he had his computer or something?
He doesn't like crowds.
Crowds. Yeah, it is quite crowded in here, you know.
And with the extra tables, and always...
The tables, and then we have this, I don't know what it is, for the sukkah or whatever it is.
Yeah, I imagine what else.